The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 197. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Hey, folks. How you doing? I'm back.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Majoma.
Howdy, Pete. Howdy.
All right. Adam will be here after he watches SummerSlam.
Chris McMahon.
It's crazy, man. All right. We're going to jump into it. We're going to see how long the show goes on for. We didn't get a lot of questions this week. This first one is actually a backup question from a couple weeks ago. So this should be an interesting one from Hashling and Slasher. Will Sony focus more on FPS or 4K with the PlayStation 5?
So first-person shooters?
No, frames per second. You know what the answer is. They're going to focus on 4K because that's easy to sell. We talked about that.
They're going to do 4K.
4K, it's easier to sell because not only are they selling consoles, they're selling TVs.
That's right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're probably going to just... it's hilarious how like everybody wants to talk about 4K when everybody, where all these companies are barely hitting 1080. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting. We have this conversation like maybe every couple of months, but is anybody else like in the 4K market now, or is it just me? I think Adam has one.
Yeah, you and Adam.
Probably you and Adam.
I'm not gonna get a 4K TV until the PlayStation 5 comes out. You know.
Yeah.
So 2020.
Yeah, or 2021. We don't know, man. She's coming out tomorrow, right? Oh, by the way, check this out, people.
Red Dead Redemption.
All right. But yeah, I don't think we need to go. They're going to focus on 4K. That's what they're going to sell.
It's going to be 4K. It's probably not going to be frames per second. But here's the thing. Like, maybe there, some of these things might carry over. Maybe what you can do, you know, maybe some of the, you know, the abilities of the PlayStation the PlayStation Pro and / the Xbox One X will probably come over. Maybe you can try to, maybe they'll offer you graphical settings where it's like, okay, if you care about FPS, right? Maybe you can run the game in 1080 and then run the game at 60. That might be cool, right?
Yeah, for the older games, right?
Yeah, like for the older games or even for like the newer games. So you just like, okay, fuck this. I don't have a 4K television. Hmm. All right, we'll just Run the damn game in 60 FPS. I'd be cool. I'd be down with that.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, just give you an option, you know?
Yeah, or you give you, like, maybe a little bit of a draw distance improvement, something like that, where it's like, okay, you know, it runs the game in 10, it runs the game in at that, but you can get even more out of the 1080 range, which you're probably, most of us will probably still be running.
Well, man, that'll give me an excuse not to get a 4K TV then, you know, because mm-hmm. I only really get a new TV to match whatever my console can do. You know what I'm saying? Could be interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
But I mean, here's the thing, like, you know, when it comes to 4K, it's like, yeah, you can see the difference when you're running there. But like what this point in time, it's like, other than that, what else are we offering? You know,
yeah,
what else are they offering?
Nothing
other than a resolution bump.
Yeah, but the thing is with that is you can only go so far as selling that kind of stuff to people in stores. Like for us, like if you tell us, oh, this is going to have better draw distances and better frame mm-hmm. rates, it sounds great to us. But when you try to sell it to little Timmy and Timmy's dad in Walmart.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they just want to know, does it run on their fucking TV?
Yeah,
I mean, most people don't even know how to, don't even know the fact that their DVD players aren't even running in 1080p. I know my dad didn't know.
Yeah.
he's running his DVDs. He's like, "Hey, these look really great." He's like, "These things look okay. I'm like, yeah, because you're not, you need a new DVD player. He's like, oh, really? I need to go buy a new DVD player? Yes, you do. And buy new discs.
That's the thing. General consumers don't know a lot of this stuff. I had a friend who bought a widescreen TV, right? And he's like, oh, great. Now I can finally watch the Lord of the Rings movies without the sides being cut. I'm like, actually, the Lord of the Rings movies still have the sides cut, bro. You know?
Because it's at a high, it's at a wider range, a wider, what do they call it?
Aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like your Marvel MCU movies, the newer ones are good. I think some of the early ones may have been like 2.43 or whatever the aspect is.
Yeah. I think Captain America, the original Captain America is a little bit wider.
Yeah. But like the current ones, what happened?
The tops get chopped off, right? You're saying?
No. The sides. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, they don't get. Here's the thing: like when the aspect ratio for like if for a wide thing, you still get black bars on the top and the bottom.
Yeah, which is empty space, by the way. It's not like, oh, they're adding black bars. No, it's just nothing there. You know.
Yeah, it's just nothing there. Unless you had a television in that aspect ratio of a really really wide
screen,
then yes, that will fill up the whole screen. But then everything else that's in the other screen format will have black bars on the left and the right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can confirm that because I recently bought a 21:9 screen. Mm-hmm. And films look amazing because it fills up the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But all the content just looks really bad because like black bars on either side.
Yeah.
But then the worst part is when... You know when some YouTubers, they like do like these movie things, so since they have like movie clips. So the clips themselves are 21:9, but it's rendered in 16:9. Since you get black bars at the top and at the side, it's so infuriating.
It just goes,
yeah, but games look amazing though. It's like so much real estate.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Oh yeah, that's your monitor, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's awesome.
And I was thinking about something like that, like maybe getting a wider format monitor. I mean, my monitor in general is pretty nice, but you know,
ultra wide's the way to go, man. You don't have to the most. Like, I think all ultra wides are 2K, and I have a 4K monitor and I have an ultra wide 2K monitor. The 2K is way better.
Mm.
Yeah, so like, you can do so much and see so much space. It's like amazing. Like, wow. It's like you don't notice how much real estate there is until you get one. It's like so much, brilliant. But. Mm-hmm. Like media and stuff like that and stuff that's like normal content, it can look a bit funky. So yeah, as you said, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, pretty much. What's going on, Mighty Nerd? All right.
What's up, Mighty Nerd?
Next question. All right, from Swedish Gamer Dad, he has returneth. What's going on, brother?
Yo.
All right, so
the weather out in Sweden.
You know? All right, so his first question is, will crossplay be a factor during the next generation? Uh-oh.
Crossplay between consoles, console generations, yes. Or crossplay between consoles like Microsoft and Sony?
He probably means the latter, but you know, we could take it however we want, you know.
Between console generations. Imagine playing Call of Duty with people on PlayStation 4.
Yeah, he did specifically say the PS5 and Xbox Scarlet, you know, the code name.
You know, That's actually all up to who, you know, to the guys actually creating these things. That's really what it's all up to, really. Well, if Sony feels like this thing is advantageous to do it, then they'll do it. If they don't, they don't. That's pretty much plain and simple. Same thing with Microsoft. Microsoft could just change the game and not do it, because remember, not every single game is crossplay between them, you know. So we're just talking about a couple of titles. We're just talking about Minecraft, and we're talking about what's the other one that's and Fortnite. We're just talking about two titles between one specific company
and
two companies.
Rocket League.
Yeah, Rocket League.
So you have three. We have three titles that do it. So you know, it depends. I think it just depends on who, you know, the console creators, if they feel like it can work. For some reason. Specifically, Sony has been keeping it closed. So, you know, we'll see what happens in the next generation. Don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say, Yeah, I'm going to say if you see it happening, it's probably going to happen between Sony and Microsoft. You're not going to see it between Sony and Nintendo. We explained that completely why that's not going to happen.
That is the other thing. If we see we might see it in general through Sony and Microsoft, but Sony and Nintendo, they don't play nice.
It's going to be interesting because let's just say for the sake of argument that crossplay does actually become a thing next generation, the holdout is going to be Nintendo actually. It's going to be funny, you know?
Well, it's going to be a holdout for a long time because they're not going to come up with a new console anytime soon. Switch 2 might not come out in like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Well, they got to wait for all the technology to go back to do a previous generation console. What are they saying the Switch is make slightly stronger than a PlayStation 3?
Yeah, probably.
That's what they're saying, right? It's like maybe a little bit stronger than a PS3 or an Xbox 360.
Oh, man. By the way, when they make the next console, call it Switch 2 because everybody knows what a Switch is. Don't call it Switch U because you're going to confuse everybody. You know, you don't want that.
And then the other stupid part of it is everybody's going to think the Switch U works with the original Switch.
Yeah, but if you say Switch 2, people are like, okay, it's the next one. You know, make it simple. That's why when they announced Xbox One, it was like, I have an Xbox One already. What are you talking about?
But you see what Nintendo does, though, right? They don't really name their consoles, sequels.
No, they don't. They never done that. They call it the Super Switch.
Yeah, you can do that. Super Switch.
Yeah, but
or the Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah. And really fuck up people like Xbox One.
Oh man, but yeah, jumping on, you said it's just going to depend on whether people really want it, whether the developers really. I think it's really going to align developers. How badly do they want it, and how badly are they willing to like force the game publishers to put them out?
And to go back to what I listened to the previous podcast with Chris. What Chris said on our regular episode of Throwdown. It's if these developers really, really wanted this thing, they would seriously put their foot down, right? They'd be like, oh, no, this thing is not going to show up on this console, but they're not going to do that.
Oh, yeah. It was like if Bethesda took a principled stance on.
Yeah. If they really, really, really wanted this thing, they would say something like, hey, we're not going to put this on there. Fuck you. They'd lose a bunch of money.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the developers, man. What about the rest of you guys? What do you say?
I think it really depends on what the public is going to do also, because the only reason why people like Bethesda are talking about crossplay is because we had that initial burst of people like talking about it. Like if these, like I think it was like mostly like you guys said, fanboys that were talking about it, like Xbox that were like pushing this on, and then like just regular people caught onto it. And so like regular people caught onto that shit. And then like even developers caught wind of this kind of stuff. So it really depends on if people really want this feature. If it dies down, then really Bethesda and the other companies don't really have an incentive to make this.
Yeah, no, you got a point there. I didn't think about that. You're right. If there was no fervor about it, this whole thing that's happening with the card game wouldn't even be a thing. You know, Bethesda wouldn't be bringing it up, but because they know it's in the zeitgeist, they're throwing it out there and shit, But again, you that's going to be your ultimatum with a card game. Sony would be like, okay, whatever. Don't put your game on our console. See what happens. Good luck.
No, they'll be like, if you make it for the Vita, then we'll let it cross play. they'll just do it that way. We make it even more stupid.
Yeah, it's insane. Anybody else want to jump in on that? All right, I'll take that as a no. So we'll move on to the next question. Sensing a pattern here. Since Sony have stated that they like to start a generation new, what are the possibilities they will have backwards compatibility with the PlayStation 4? I said before, I guarantee you they're going to have it because it's the same architecture, x86. There's no funky cell processors to go through this time around. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about backwards compatibility with PS2, PS1, or PS3, but with PS4, yeah, I guarantee you that.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
Didn't they even say as much?
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't fully said it, but pretty much.
I would think that, to be honest, it would make the changeover between console generations so fucking easy. You wouldn't even need to touch your goddamn PlayStation 4 anymore. All you need to do is just roll over all your saves to the new thing, and then put box the old one.
The saves would still be on the cloud, so you wouldn't have to worry about that. You know? And your games probably look better too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, how awesome would that be? Like, again, we're talking about, like, you know, because they're using the same sort of, architecture. Yeah. You can bring over your old games and you can literally PlayStation Plus them, you know, not PlayStation, but like, the PlayStation Pro them or Xbox, One X them. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Like if just imagine if Microsoft did that to start with the Xbox One. Like, I don't think they'd be on par with PlayStation 4, but I think it would be a great boost because, I mean, it's a great feature, the backwards compatibility, what Xbox does with mm-hmm. it gives, like, it's just a patch and put in your old discs and you can play the games. So, yeah, I think that's the logical thing to do, but I'm still a little bit pessimistic. I think the most probabilistic thing that would happen would be that they'd do that, but the start of this generation showed that all these remasters, like, sort of kept the industry afloat for so many years, and I'm wondering if these companies are going to see this and be like, maybe we should do this again. It worked last time.
Yeah, that's the other factor. I think it's going to be backwards compatible, but they're still going to sell you the upgraded version too because they know people are going to buy them. You know what I'm saying?
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I think they're going to do that. You're going to see like Red Dead Redemption 2 at HD, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to do that too. They're going to do that too. Watch.
The Ultimate Edition Remastered.
Yeah, exactly. Edition. Yep.
I got a question.
What's up, man?
Why is it?
so when they start doing this, I've wondered about this about 4K gaming in general. Like, okay, so they're cranking up a lot of stuff, but they're not doing true 4K textures a lot of times.
Yeah.
At least not to my knowledge. So when our game is going, they're gonna have to start making more games with 4K textures as the audience for 4K gaming gets wider, right? And that's gonna drive up development costs for games, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think you're gonna see real native 4K games next generation for sure.
I wouldn't say that it would drive up that much because, like, most games on PC already have like a 4K texture pack, and that stuff is usually free. So I'm guessing it's just a case of like just giving those assets over to the console side.
Yeah, it's literally changing a line of code.
I don't think it's gonna cost that much. I just think it's gonna be more art assets. And I'm wondering if we will actually see it slide over, or if we're gonna see most game companies be like, they don't really need 4K textures. They're fine.
They could do what Xbox is doing in that, depending on which version you have, like the Xbox One or Xbox One X or the normal one, they like download like the high res texture packs or not. So there could be a case of like you don't really know that is there, but I'm sure that they will just give like, hey, since it's 4K, here's like all the 4K goodness, or else people will tend to get like really mad, because we already seen how mad people got when they found out that Killzone Downfall wasn't in like the resolution that they said there was. It's like, oh, they lied about the resolution. So can you imagine the big stink that people will make up if, like, hey, they said that it's a 4K game, but yet there's no 4K assets. Why is that? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, Brad, let me ask you,
if do you think that, and I hate to be that, maybe I'm just saying here, do you think that people know the difference between a 1280 picture that's upscaled and resaved at 4K versus something that's natively 4K?
I think they only know it when somebody smarts.
Yeah. I was just about to say that. Like, they don't know it, Brett, but when they see Digital Foundry tells them it is, yep, then they're going to get mad.
That's when they lose their mind.
I was about to say the same thing. Like, yep, they won't know it, but they will be told about it.
Yes.
I think people can get trained to see that. If there's going to be discrepancy between games, some with native 4K textures and some with upscaled 4K textures, and I think people can, like, we'll start learning and they'll start criticizing these companies for doing so.
Yeah, but then at the same time, like, you have to see them side by side, because that's one thing that I've seen to be hearing a lot from Digital Foundry. It's like when they put like a 4K PS4 game against like 4K Xbox game, it's like, yeah, like they both look really good, but the Xbox just looks sharper, and that's only by comparison. Cause like when you just look at like the normal one, it's like, okay, it looks fine. And that's right. Then the Xbox One, it's like, hey, it looks slightly sharper. So you'd have to have some sort of comparison, because I'm sure that, like, just by its own, it's very difficult to tell.
Yeah, but again, you know, they'll only get mad when Digital Foundry tells them. It's hilarious, you know.
And that's pretty much the job. So,
well, that's because they don't know better.
Yeah, no, they just need what again. They just use whatever they can for the console war bullshit. You know, you can't give these people a benefit of that. They're going to be stupid. They can't tell the difference. They're being idiots. You know.
I mean, I think you like it's kind of like the talk with you can't tell the difference between 30 and 60 frames per second. Like, I think people can get their like eyes trained to see like. Some differences, like if you see someone upscaling a 900p texture pack into a game, as opposed to like let's say the new Gears of War game has like 900p upscaled texture packs going to 4K, and then you have the next God of War game being 4K textures. There's going to be a mad difference between both of them.
You think most people can see that? I don't think they can.
I think they can. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think a lot of them will be an uproar until they actually figure out what's going on. And that's where Digital Foundry comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't think most people could see that. I mean, like you say, if you need training, that means you can't do it, in, you know, like naturally, you know?
Well, it's because because there's not that many native 4K games out there.
Yeah, that is also true.
I think you'd be able to, like, point out, like, there's something off about this game, but you wouldn't necessarily be able to point out what it is. I see that a lot with frame rate. Like, even if people don't know that it's 60 or 30, if it's 60, a lot of times people will be like, oh, this is smooth. Or if it's 30, PC players will be like, dude, this is choppy as fuck. So, like, they'll be able to kind of put their finger on it. And there are times when I've played PC games where I'm like, I don't know if this is lag or bad frame rate or the game is chugging or what, but this, it is not running smooth. And I think that's the experience you get from a lot of people, and then they'll find out why from Digital Foundry.
Yeah, then, you know, they get in a tizzy. By the way, shout out to Mighty Nerd, who's still on that whole PS5 is going to have a new self-processor tip. Bro, let it here's, go, man.
Here's the, going back to Killzone Shadowfall, you realize that that is actually the first example of a variable, one of the first examples, you know, on a console of a variable a resolution. Whereas, like, one portion of it is 1080, one portion of it is another resolution to kind of keep the frame rate consistent. Doom uses that all the damn time, and nobody's complaining about that thing.
Halo does it too.
So it's interesting how that game was the one that everybody was getting all up in an uproar about. But then after it was pretty much explained, then it's like, oh, okay, I guess it's fine. You know? it's an interesting kind of a thing. Just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. All right. Next question from Black Metal Gamer. So how long do you see the PS4 lasting until it no longer gets new games? How many years will PS4 have the ninth gen? Now, before we answer our questions, I want to give you guys some context here, right? So the first PlayStation lasted all 6 years during the PS2 generation. Basically, it lasted the entirety of that generation, right? Then did get discontinued. The PS2 lasted pretty much the majority of the PS3 era. It ended in 2013. And the PlayStation 3 only lasted 3 years after the next gen started.
Man, so, I remember. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No. So, I mean, I was just going to ask you guys a question, but go ahead and throw your little thing in there.
I remember, like, it was E3, like, well beyond the PlayStation 3's launch, and we would still get PS2 stuff. I'm like, what the hell is this thing doing here?
It was still selling. It was still selling, man. So, and the thing is, like, my original answer was going to be 3 years, too, but the PlayStation 4 is a very good, you know, it's selling really, really well. The PS3 sold okay, I guess, but, like, look at the first PlayStation, second PlayStation. They lasted the entire generation. I don't know if PS4 is going to do that, but I think it'll last a good maybe four. Actually, if I say 5 years, that's the entire generation, isn't it, if you think about it?
Oh, 5 years after they stop. Yeah,
after, let's just say, for the sake of argument, PlayStation 5 drops 2020. PS4 would be discontinued in 2024 or 25. Understand?
Ooh, that's a lot of years.
But look at the PlayStation. The PlayStation, the first one, lasted, so was it 7 years? No, 6 years, then 7 years for the PS2, then 3 years for the PS3, you know? And this is after the new console came out.
So you said 7 years for the PS2?
No, okay, PS2 lasted 7 years. So remember, PS3 generation was really long.
Because PS3 came out 2006, and if it's 7 years, then that's
Yeah, it got discontinued.
2013, that's mm-hmm. the launch of the PS4.
Yeah.
God damn.
Think about it like this. The PlayStation 2 was discontinued a month before the PS4 was announced.
I'm not going to change the question, but I think it'd be more interesting to say when it'll lose its relevancy, because like discontinued, like they could still manufacture like 100 of those things. Still be like technically out there.
Yeah. Here's the part I can't answer. I don't know when the last original game was made for these systems, because that's what he's really asking, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it was FIFA, remember?
FIFA? Aren't they still putting those out for PS3? Shit.
I'm just checking that right now. So far, FIFA 13 is a yes for PS2. Check for FIFA 14.
God damn.
Damn.
So is FIFA 14.
You also got to remember that South America is still, you know, they're still a little behind on it, so that's probably why they're still doing it.
Yeah, okay. So
don't you remember that was we actually did a this is how old some of us are. The podcast is we did a news story on the last PS2 game being sold when it was sold.
Yeah, we also did like this is as I call it the throwdown Jurassic Age. We did a whole special commemorating the PS2 after they, you know, canceled it, basically.
Yeah, they literally stopped making them.
And that was a month before the PS4 got announced. It's hilarious, man. I think that's how long that thing lasted, you know?
Yeah. Throughout the whole generation.
Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, for those of you wondering, FIFA 14 was the last FIFA game on PS2.
Jesus. Wow. Manny, what were you going to say?
No, I was just, I totally lost my train of thought anyway, so let's go.
Again. Yeah. All right, so what do you, I guess we'll just throw numbers out right now. How long do you think it's going to last after PS5 drops?
For PS4?
Yeah.
I feel like that it's going to continue through most of the PS5 generation.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling right now, seeing how the other consoles did. Because, again, PlayStation and PlayStation 2 were highly successful, just like PS4 is highly successful. So it's not just going to be cut off at the knees, you know? Like, PS3 was kind of limping to the end, you know?
Yeah,
go ahead.
And the biggest, one of the biggest factors that we haven't mentioned yet is the PS4 Pro, which is, like, a half step that keeps its relevancy even more... not to be redundant, relevant.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. No, you're right. You're right about that. Carlos, you painted yourself into a corner there.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, God damn it. That's the only word I can use, and I used it like two.
The relevance of the relevancy.
Hey, its relevancy is still relevant.
Yeah. But, Carlos, that is a relevant statement. but you're right, though. It's like, with the PS4 Pro, that's going to extend that life. Shit, it may be a case where it's just going to continue through the entire generation. Why not, right?
I think people put way too much stock into these ultra systems of this generation. Both Sony and Microsoft said that these are not going to be continuative or iterative machines. They're going to be the ultra premium high-end version of this console generation. They have said it over and over and as clear as day. So I got to ask, Are we heading into like a special sauce kind of thing? Because everybody keeps talking about like, oh well, you know the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro, they're gonna extend life cycles. Says who? Because the company's never said so. In fact, they said explicitly the opposite.
Yeah, it's the fans saying that, Brett. You know that.
I know it's the fans saying that, but based on what?
That's a good technology question. Yeah, maybe technology. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, because they're. The PS4 Pro's technology doesn't become as quickly obsolete as its predecessor does. And that makes it so FIFA 22 can run better than it would have in the PlayStation 4 OG one. And it's possible that they might just drop support for the PS4 and just keep up support for PS4 Pro and let that carry on.
See, that's the part I don't like. I can understand that it'll play games that age better, and you'll probably see more games in the vein of Black Flag where they're released for both systems, and that it'll probably even that may carry over a little bit better to PS4, but I don't think you're going to see true PS5 games on a PS4 Pro. Again, but we could get into the architecture of the system. We could get into the fact that it only has a minor processing boost and a pretty severe graphical boost. But that, you know, that's going to change. Well, that's not going to change. The need for more processing power will increase as games evolve during the next generation. So as much as it has a bump, and while I do think it has a little bit of a safety net, I think there are a lot of people out here being like, oh, well, PS4 Pro is going to be the new baseline for their next generation. And I want to tear my hair out and be like, what makes you possibly think that?
Well, Brian mentioned it. FIFA was relevant in the PS2 since FIFA 14. Like, there might not be, like, we might not get God of War 5 or 6 on these consoles, but
that's what you're saying because you're a reasonable individual. I'm asking, why does everybody else take it a step further and just be like, oh no, my PS4 Pro is going to be integrated fully into the next generation for most of its life cycle?
Oh no, I'm not sure why. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but anyway, for the purpose of this question, you saw how long the other PlayStations lasted, so I think it's safe to say the PlayStation 4 is going to last a pretty good long while too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, move on here to the next question. Since Castlevania is such a hit on Netflix, what other game franchises from any company would you like to see get animated Netflix style?
Altered Beast.
Damn it!
Jinx.
I love when people steal Brett's answers. He gets so passionate about it. It's not a contest, Brett.
You could almost hear me thinking. I was like, yeah. I think, yes, I'm going to say, and then Chris jumps in with us. Like, okay.
Chris with the steal, son.
Yeah, I stole it. I mean, Sega's full of stuff. If they're not going to make games out of it, yo, license it to Netflix, man. Golden Axe. Give me a Golden Axe animated series. Give me a freaking Shining Force. Yo, RPG. You mean Splatterhouse?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Splatterhouse.
Splatterhouse is another company.
No, it could be any company. It could be any company.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know, since, you know, he said Castlevania, that's Konami. Hey, man, what about Contra? That's all I'm saying, man. That shit would be crazy.
Yeah, what about Contra?
You know, bring that back. Konami.
What about Metal Gear? I mean, they need to do something with that IP.
Damn, surprised. I'm surprised Manny and I didn't say that shit.
I mean, you could totally do a Metal Gear. But again, you know, they are working on a movie, so.
Tony, I'm surprised going through X that you don't immediately say a Mega Man anime, considering it's halfway in there already.
We've already gotten some of those, and they're hit or miss. So,
and actually, they're doing one.
Yeah, they're doing. Are they doing that a real Cartoon one?
It's not real. That Cartoon Network stuff.
Get that out of my face. The Mega Man Recharge or whatever.
But there's something happening, you know. So
yeah, they're doing Mega Man, so they can't do that. Yeah, Metal Gear would be good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's handled by somebody who knows the game series. I mean, to be honest, like, that's what makes the Castlevania the Castlevania Netflix thing so well done. It's because, you know, Warren Ellis decided to go delve into all the games and try to figure out a way to kind of create this sort of thing. And granted, that game was considered a prequel to the other Castlevania games, you know?
Yeah.
Heck, make a Mass Effect freaking anime.
I mean, you kind of had that, but I guess
Paragon.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Commander Shepard endorses that as the best anime on the Citadel.
Yeah, right. but you're right. Netflix style, like an actual series of Commander Shepard, that'd be cool. You know,
Commander Shepard.
Not that Jason Vega one or whatever the fuck that shit was. You know,
you mean with the Pilgrim?
Yeah, yeah.
As we like to call him.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. Yeah.
Actually, how about this? They kind of have done this, but not actually. Have they made an animated version? Oh, Halo. Screw the live action thing. Make it animated.
Remember,
they
Halo
actually did do a Halo anime.
Yeah, That's what I was thinking. Did they make one?
Yeah, they did, and it was dope too.
It was actually kind of a mixture of things, but yeah, a lot of them were Japanese studios that were making them. Like,
oh shit, suck a free Sunday. Adams in the house.
Some a slam.
Hey, Chris, should you say it or should I?
You can say it.
Bloodborne.
Oh shit! I was gonna say Dark Souls, but Bloodborne. Yeah.
Dark Blood or Blood Souls?
Soulsborne. Get it right.
Souls.
Oh yeah, that's right for anime. You could confuse the shit out of people even more. You gotta watch the next time. I don't know what's happening. I gotta keep watching.
Just make it an anthology. Give every episode or two is a different character's point of view because everybody fucking dies.
Yeah.
Dr. Evil says Uncharted anime. I actually would be opposed to this.
Yeah, they could do that. It'd be good. That'd be cool. You know, it'd be like an animated Indiana Jones. You know,
I think the games are just perfect as is. Like they're not perfect games, but I think like the series it tells its story.
So hold on. So you're saying that for you to want it animated, it needs to be something different than the game, like add a different dimension.
It has to be a little bit more storyline complicated. Like yeah. you can everything you need to know that about an Uncharted the Uncharted series is literally exists within the game. Now mm-hmm. we're talking about stories that can literally be stand to have. You know, an exploration of their stories. You know, and I was like, "What are you gonna do?" Like Nathan Drake sitting in his home at some point. You know, it's gonna be the same. It's gonna be essentially a duplicate of the games. As a animation.
And the only reason why we tolerate the kind of same-ish story plots is because they're fun as hell to play, and the set pieces mm-hmm. are amazing. So that's I think that leads to the game being as big as it is.
Yeah, like something like I would say like a you know again we're talking about Bloodborne, we're talking about games that look like they have a story that might extend way beyond you know the things we see, you know, like you know Altered Beast has that whole situation where it's like it's some sort of Greek story, there's that wizard guy saying rise from your grave and all that shit, so it's like okay, what things can we explore there.
I also think that with anime, at least if you want to exploit the genre, I know that's not the best word, but I'm going with it, to the best, you almost have to have something that kind of goes over the top action-y in a little places, just because the nature of, like, my only problem with it with Uncharted is I don't see them being able to utilize everything that anime gives you in order to make that a cool sequence or cool fight or something like that, because it's usually... Just maybe you might get some Cowboy Bebop, you know, fist fights in there, but for the most part, I feel like it's like a lot of set piece. You
know, I don't know. I mean that seems battles. Just like that just seems like pegging anime for just doing superhero like
yeah like when you saw The Professional, they weren't doing any of that crazy shit.
No, you know? It was a guy with a gun. You know, like you know.
Yeah,
that
was a little bit more over the top. Again, that's more Cowboy Bebop. Like Nathan Drake is like Uncharted is so grounded in reality that I feel like if you turn it up to 11, it's going to lose its flavor.
I don't know about that. I think Uncharted is already over the top. You know all that crazy shit Nathan Drake is doing all this time. I think that works well with anime. To be honest, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like there's this not. It would probably only get like maybe a season out of it, and then just
one season.
It's more of the same. It's more of the same stuff over again. Again, that's what I mean. In order for it to exist as a show, it really needs to have a little bit of an extension. You know, a little bit story that extends like far beyond whatever was there. If anything,
my question is, why does it need to be more than one season? Why can't we just go one good season and that's it?
No. I mean, usually they want to do more than one season. I mean, Voltron is like 7 seasons fucking long.
Which is insane to me. I'm like, how the fuck did you do that? They released like 2 a year or something? It's ridiculous.
No, yeah. it's because the seasons are short. They're only like 13 or like 6 episodes long. They're
well,
not.
Well, all right. I guess that's, that's definitely something to consider. But to me, I'm like, just do it like old school, like an OVA. Just one season and you're done, you know?
I mean, here's the thing. Why can't you just do a movie? Just an animated movie.
You could do that too. That'd be even better. Yeah.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that too. I don't know why, but and then see the thing is like what I'm talking about. I actually don't even have to do with just guns because immediately I'm like the Metal Gear anime would be amazing. You know, like bullets flying, leaping, kicking, and like you know somebody robots. Coming in with a gun, and then all of a sudden you know like he pulls out a knife and like you know blocks the gun kind of thing. Like you could go over the top on that. I feel like a lot of Uncharted's charm comes from its playability and its dialogue and stuff like that. And, well, I think that would work in an anime. I just don't think it would be made better. Like, I'd almost rather see a live-action Uncharted than I would an anime Uncharted. That's just me. I want to see Nathan Fillion in that bitch.
I got a link for you if you want to see that. Oh, man. All right, let's move on here, man, to the next question.
Gravity Rush. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Just throwing that one in there.
Okay, Digital Tiger is next. He goes, throughout your gaming history, were there any underhyped slash unheralded bargain bin games that you purchased anyway and consider gems? For example, some of my favorite games for $20 or less were Critical Depth, MTV Music Generator, Freakstyle XGRA Racing, and Blur. Interesting. I've never bought a game from the bargain bin.
I've never bought bargain bin games. I mean, granted, I've bought games that are lower in price, but is that really a bargain bin game?
No,
not really.
Like, I'm taking it literally, by the way. Like, the actual bargain bin that you see on at GameStop, where you dig around, try to find stuff. Nope, I never bought a game from that. Yeah.
The only time I ever bought anything from the bargain bin is when I wanted to play a game that I already had played, you know, before. So in other words, I played the Assassin's Creed 2, and then the next one came out, Assassin's Creed something or other, the next Ezio one. Yeah, it was that one, and I bought that in a bargain bin.
Yeah, for me, like, if I did buy something in the bargain bin, I don't think it was a hidden gem. It was just probably something that I just missed out when it came out and mm-hmm. got it for the cheap. So maybe when I was younger, but I can't think, like, what did I buy off a bargain bin that
I can't. Fucking Brutal Legend.
Yes.
I had no plans of getting that shit, and then I saw it was like $9, $7 used or something, and I think you, Manny, or some other people told me, oh, it's got all this metal reference and the music and all that shit, but it's like an RPG.
RTS, yeah.
Yeah, RTS. I was like, what? That? Some of them, they were like, yeah, you get t-shirts, like it was a vendors, and then you get attacked and stuff. I'm like, what? This sounds ridiculous. I'm not getting this shit. But then I saw it was, you know, a bunch of them actually on the rack, and I was like, yeah, I'll get it. It was okay, but
it's not, I mean, like, it's a fun enough game, but I feel like the one issue that they had with that is just like they really were trying to hardcore hide the fact that it was had a real-time strategy mode in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that the core gameplay is that, you know, but mm-hmm. but that wasn't a bargain bin game for me. I bought that new when it came out.
Well, me and Tony bought that game on because the game came out the same day as Uncharted 2.
That's right.
Uncharted 3. Sorry.
Was it 2? I thought it was 2, man.
Might have been 2.
Remember the game? Yeah, the game came out a while ago. It came out 10 years ago.
It was probably Uncharted 2. Both those games came out on the same day.
Yeah. But, you know, I can't say I have, Chris, any bargain bin stories for you?
No, I can't say that I have. I mean, PlayStation hits or when Xbox used to have platinum hits and stuff, buying those discounted games, I don't think it's the same thing. You know, I don't think I've ever bought it. Oh, the only game. Yes, I did buy one game from the bargain bin in GameStop years ago, and I found Luigi's Mansion for like $3. But it was good. There's no real story behind that, you know.
Yeah,
I just lucked out because that game is expensive on eBay and shit, you know.
Sodep says the garbage bin. A lot of those games are trash.
So I lucked out. That was like a first party game. If you go, it might still be expensive. Like, collectors try to find that fucking game. I found it for like $3.
Yeah. Anybody else? Garbage bin games. Seriously, Brian, nothing. Carlos?
Nope. I got nothing.
Nope. Because, I don't know. Do Steam deals count?
No. They don't have a bargain bin, you know?
It's all a bargain bin.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, the good games get dropped in price to greatest hits. They don't end up in the bargain bin anyway.
That's a good point, man. That's a great point. All right, we'll move on here. Okay, we've kind of answered a variation of this before, but since we have time to kill tonight, we're going to go for it.
Variation?
Also, those of you in the chat.
No, don't be racist, Brett.
Also, those of you in the chat, if you have any gaming questions that you want to ask, you know, feel free to drop them into the chat.
Yeah, please, man. Unless you want us to end the show early. Remember, this show is yours, man. If you don't ask us any gaming questions, we ain't got nothing to give you. You know, All right. Next one, whatever, wherever the fuck we are. If one or more of your favorite movie, TV show, or cartoon characters could be in a video game or have their own game, which characters and game would you put them in? He goes, for example, I would like to see Blade or Lion-O in the Mortal Kombat or Soul Calibur series, or I would like to see Big Trouble in Little China as a video game by Rocksteady. Okay. We could have fun with this. Like, why not have, like, you know, fucking, you know, Thanos in Bloodborne? I don't know. Fucking stupid.
A game about a character, you know, just in another game or with their own game?
It could be their game or in another game. It doesn't matter. He wants both.
Oh, yeah, we kind of did answer that question. I think we did answer a variation of this last week,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, we kind of get asked this a lot, but again, we got time to kill today, you know?
Favorite TV show as a game? You know, I'd like to see, again, we go with the Rocksteady thing. Maybe I'd like to see a Batman Beyond game done by them. Mm. You know, just kind of like take that, you know, expand the universe of Batman Beyond. You're flying around a friggin' super, like, you could essentially fly around the whole city, you know, as opposed to gliding like the way Batman did, you know, and you have that, your cool flying car in it, you know, it'd be interesting to kind of explore.
That would be cool, actually.
World, yeah. The future world of Batman. Would say, you know, we're talking about TV shows. Like,
I wouldn't mind a Cowboy Bebop game, another one.
Yeah, right, a better one.
Better one.
Cowboy Bebop game.
Another one was like a beat 'em up game or something like that. But yeah, like one that would more look into the story and you can travel through space and stuff. I think that like be pretty cool.
And you know, it'd be really nice now since they got, you know, the cell shading for games so snazzy and nice. You can definitely make a really good looking game that looks like the anime now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my choice.
What about you, Adam?
Table tennis.
With Sub-Zero.
I don't know why, but I just, once I heard this question, the first thing I kept thinking was like Mr. Robot. If they could add Mr. Robot to something,
I'm gonna hack you guys.
Well, it's him. No, it's just him. It's him and his dad. He's schizophrenic, so it's having that schizophrenic character with him and his dad. In another world, in another game. I think that'd be funny because then no one knows who they're really talking to. So I think that might be interesting. I just don't know what game, but I think that whole, the story that they tell in the show could be a perfect game.
Did you like season 2?
Let's not talk about the season 2. that was a mistake. Season 3 was much better. Season 3 went back to what season 1 was doing. Season 2 was so crazy. That was horrible.
Yo, man, that's where I dropped it, because I...
A lot of people did. I just wound up getting it after the fact when people were like, yeah, watch it through, you'll see it. They fixed it. It's like, okay, because the director went too far off on what he was trying to go for. It was too all over the time. It was boring. It was so boring. I couldn't believe it. I was like, did anybody here watch Mr. Robot? Anybody?
Nope.
Yeah.
No. It was a good show. First season is amazing.
Yeah, like first season's pretty good.
TV shows you ever watched first season once. Then skip second and go straight to third.
What if we went to third and then went back to second?
Then you would not want to watch it ever again, because that second season. But the first was all with the, basically, real quick, first season made it seem like we were getting Dexter, the hacker version. Like, he caught a pedophile, and he was doing other things, and he was tracking people down, and he was showing how he tracked them down online and looked up their profiles and what they were doing, and he would expose them. It was one of those. I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be crazy. And then with the whole thing with his dad, and I don't want to spoil it. There's a lot going on with his dad. His dad is a famous actor. What's his name?
Yeah, he's in freaking Heathers. What's his name?
Yeah, Keith Slater. Was this Slater?
Slater. What's his name?
Oh, Christian Slater?
Christian Slater. 80s actor.
Slater, I'm like, Mario Lopez?
He is Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot is Christian Slater. And I have that little Funko on my desk at work. Little Mr. Robot guy. It's cool.
Did I ever tell you guys how I met Christian Slater? That was hilarious.
Nope. You keep a lot of secrets, but that's just the way
you are. I'll tell you guys after the show, man. I must have told it on Throwdown one time. It was a really funny Comic-Con story. Hey, how you doing? I'm Christian. Like, yeah, dude, I know who you are. Oh, man. Where the fuck are we right now? Did everybody...
You'd be surprised, though. Some celebrities, you know, they may think that they're too old, like, out of your generation, you know?
Yeah, maybe, you know. All right, did everybody answer this question?
Hey, how you doing? I'm Christian. How's it going?
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
I want to see Nathan Drake in a Last of Us game.
You want to put him in Last of Us?
Yeah, man, I want to see him tie the world. I want to see the final Uncharted game be a prequel to The Last of Us.
He's like, hey, these mushrooms look great. Oh, my God.
Oh my God, son! Why is it spraying in the face?
I'm bring up this ancient civilization that mysteriously died and bring back these spores. Oh no, everything's dying.
It's a good thing that we live on this deserted island.
What about
that's the connection to Uncharted.
Deadpool in an Uncharted game.
There you go.
I didn't see the interaction between Nathan Drake and Deadpool. That'd be pretty funny.
That actor did play. He did play Deadpool for years.
Nolan North.
Nathan Fillion. Nolan North was played him in a bunch of the animated shows, and he's also him in the
video Marvel game versus too.
Capcom game.
Yeah,
you know, big bang, that guy.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's Deadpool. You can shove it just about anything.
Where the hell are we right now? All right. Okay. All Day Digital Man. So his question is, why haven't we ever gotten a good Terminator game? Or did we? If so, which one? Maybe I missed it. Peace, fam.
Yo, man. Sega CD, man.
Yeah, man. Bring that shit back.
That one was the shit.
The arcade game was awesome. I remember that, man. With the guns and shit.
Still got with the excellent.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, it's all right. I played it recently. It doesn't hold up as well.
Uh-oh. You might be right about that, but I remember it fondly, so I'm never going to play it again, just to, keep it untainted.
I think that's a good idea.
Because remember that in there, keep, I mean, this shit is crazy, man! Terminator?
What?
Yeah. All right, so there you go. There's the answer. We did get one good Terminator game. I don't know. What about Terminator versus RoboCop? Wasn't that good?
No.
Oh, no.
It wasn't really that good. So.
That's
Super
not good.
Super Nintendo game? Yeah.
Now, that Sega CD one is probably the best one.
Great comic, not the game. That's
yeah, good. Yeah. All right, man. Okay, next up, Mighty Nerd. I'm just going to read it, and we'll try to figure out what my man's asking here exactly. People say the PS3 was a hard to program for due to the cell processor and separate memory pools. The PlayStation 4 has a PC architecture that's extremely easy to program for, but no third-party game looks better than Sony first-party. Why don't you people in the news media complain about that when Sony make free software tools derived from their first party studios made available for free? I don't know what the hell I just read. My dear,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
It kind of falls apart, and it's like the only person who really works in games media is Tony here.
Yeah, and I don't understand what I'm supposed to be mad about.
Yeah, like, the thing is that, like, the PlayStation, Sony does have at least one free to download development space, which is the engine that was used for Gravity Rush, and a lot of the games made by the guys who made Journey. Those games were all developed on there too. So, I mean, are we mad? Why should we be mad that those games can be developed on there? And then the other thing is that you're asking for parity between games, between first parties and third parties.
Maybe he's asking that Sony should give their tools to third party so the games look as good as first party.
Well, the thing is that the one thing about it is that usually when they do that, they probably wouldn't do much of that stuff, because a lot of that would mean that there would be some sort of additional development, and then they would have to do some sort of deal between Sony and them, and then everybody would get pissed off because, oh hey, it looks better on the Sony one because Sony paid extra money to do it, right?
Yeah.
Well, the reason why the reason why Sony first party games look better than most multi-platform games is because there was only one console to develop for, and that's just the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that's part of the reason why a Halo game will look amazing, you know, way better than any of the third party games that have been created for that console.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that shit better than anybody else.
And then
they don't need to develop the damn game for everything.
Exactly. So like, and should we be mad that God of War looks much better than Gravity Rush?
Yeah. Because
that's one first party game looking way better than another first party game. So it's like there's parity between first party too. It's not like it's not all roses. Like Red Dead Redemption is gonna look better than most Sony first party games to ever come out. So like every year we get new games that look better than their predecessors. And yeah, and I agree, first party usually is a good test bench of like the highest quality graphical wise, like for games, but it's not always the case.
Mighty Nurse says, well, gaming media in general tend to make excuses for why third-party titles run worse. You have to explain that one. What do you mean? What excuses? I don't understand what he's getting at here. Sorry, brother. I don't understand you.
I mean, if you're talking about how like some, like, I mean, in the previous generation, that was pretty damn true. Like you have games that were on Xbox 360, which were running better than the PlayStation 3 versions.
Shit, even Hip Hop Gamer rebought his whole library just to play Xbox games because they ran better.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, that console is the console that they developed it for. You know, most of those games, you know, at the time, Xbox was the console that everybody developed for. So they obviously put the more of the time to get the game to work on that thing, despite the console not being as powerful as the PlayStation, and granted that they knew how to work in that sort of development environment. So I don't know. I wouldn't say why should you get mad at that sort of thing? Yeah. Unless remember that a lot of this stuff is all the developers having to develop the thing for multiple consoles and the PC. That's why you're seeing PC versions being delayed so many times nowadays, because they actually want to get the damn thing to work on there. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Anybody else want to take it? Because I'm not really sure what my man's asking here.
There's a lot of he's shooting in a lot of directions.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about resources, like a small indie studio doesn't have the resources of Sony Santa Monica or 343. So if you're saying why doesn't an FPS out of some indie studio look like Halo Guardians, or why doesn't an adventure game like from Devolver Digital look like Uncharted 4, right? It's just resources, time, people, and all that, and money, you know, like that they just don't have. So you're going to have compromises.
Well, I think he's also missing the idea that just because he's going off the idea that, okay, so PS3 was cell architecture, and that was difficult to develop for. Now everybody's using universal architecture, so you shouldn't just need to optimize a game for a certain system. It should just be all universal. And I think that's the assumption that he's making, which is wrong. Like, you can still develop a game for the PlayStation, and it will run better on the PlayStation. You don't just, you know, press a button and it jumps over to Xbox-optimized code and then runs for the Xbox. They're running off of the same basic language, but they're not running the same parts. They're not mere duplicates or clones of each other.
Right.
So yeah, any first party game is going to run better, and it's not because they're holding tools back for people. It's because it's just developed to work on one thing as opposed to work on everything. That's the nature of programming and different platforms, which is I think why everybody here is confused, because they're like, it's just kind of like you're asking us like why water is wet, because it's wet. And that, you know, it's not just video games. It's a general universal condition. Like, if you try and write a novel that's geared towards young adults and adults, it's not going to generally hit as well with either demographic, because it's not aiming to be optimized for one group. I mean, it's not something that's even just limited to video games. It's just, like they said, it's the amount of time and effort, and you don't just hit the Xbox button. I can't break it down any simpler than that, I guess. So I'm done.
Yeah. All right, man. Next up here is a couple of guys from the room here. Awesome. All right. Why is every user taken? Okay. Fortnite. What do you guys think about this game? You probably get asked this a lot. Yeah. If you want to know what me and Carlos think specifically, watch our live stream.
I'm going to say this about the Fortnite game. It's not something that I find that interesting, but then again, I'm not into the sort of online, you know, kind of beat this, blow the shit out of everybody sort of gameplay. I feel like, at least for me, killing everybody until there's nobody that's left is kind of just like just meat-headed gaming. I'm not saying that you guys who like those games are meat-headed. I just feel like it's not a full-on experience. I'm not that sort of, I'm not really a competitive gamer. I'm not really that sort of, person that loves that sort of stuff. So for a game, for me to play that sort of game, it doesn't work for me, you know?
Yeah, a quick thing, Mighty Nerd, despite the fact that I don't think we answered the question directly, he was happy with our responses, so you're welcome, brother. You know? Yeah. I don't even want to talk about Fortnite, man. Not my thing, man. I'm not feeling the rainbow.
The only thing I can say about Fortnite is the stylization is something that looks very interesting. You know, the kind of cartoony style. You don't see that sort of stuff in a lot of games. I mean, granted, you know, you have like, as of late, you've been starting to see them more, where it's like you have like Overwatch, it's a little cartoony, and then you have the other one that failed before it. I can't remember the name of that one.
Lawbreakers?
Was it Lawbreakers? No, it was the one that actually, the one that they were talking about before.
Battleborn.
Battleborn. There you go.
That one.
I can't tell these names apart, man.
Yeah. So you have those games. I think that kind of style, which is one thing that's cool about those sorts of games is that they're actually choosing a style instead of choosing generic, generic semi-realistic style. A certain battle royale game.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it in a little bit. Hey, Adam, have you played Fortnite? Because you're the big multiplayer guy around here. Why didn't you like it?
I did play Fortnite. I didn't like it.
Yeah, why not?
It's just the whole building aspect and the cartoony look. And it's like, I played Battle Royale, and that had more of a thrilling feel because it was like, man, I'm dropped in this world, and it doesn't look that great, but still, I'm by myself, and it's quiet, you know, and you had to go around. But this, with all the cartooniness and the outfits and building stuff and rocketeers and all that, it just didn't do it for me. Not for me. So,
anybody else want to give their thoughts on Fortnite? Brian, what about you, man?
It's just not my game. Like, in terms of multiplayer games, the only things I like are arena shooters. So, if you're not on Unreal Tournament, then I don't give a shit. Period.
Tag.
Not just me.
Chris, did you play Fortnite?
No. I have not tried it. I had like no interest. Kristen tried it on the Switch. She was just checking it out, and I was like, I don't care. I just skipped it. I don't give a shit.
And Bray, you don't like any of these battle royale games, do you?
I don't like battle royale mode. Period.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna talk more about battle royale mode in a bit. We got a lot of Fortnite questions for some reason. All right. Next up here, we got two questions from Bro Family. So his first one is, did Fortnite copy PUBG, and should they sue them? Brett, please explain all the history of all of this, please.
Okay. So a long time ago, there was a game called Arma, and somebody built a mod off of Arma, which there was zombies, and you collected food, and you basically ran around and shot each other for no good reason. This game is called DayZ. Now, DayZ spawned a whole bunch of imitation clones, among them most notably H1Z1, ARK, and similar games. Now, ARK then proceeded to take this world and implement a battle royale mode where everything kind of shrunk down in the world, and it left you in a very small spot in the center where you would then battle it out. And this was meant to be a sort of refresher course between longer sessions of ARK and a more permanent world. Now, PUBG then went and fucking stole this and claimed credit for it. Then Fortnite came along and did the same thing. So, no, PUBG should not fucking sue anybody because they're thieves in and of themselves. That's like saying, like, somebody stole my stolen car. Should I go to the police? No, you fucktard. Like, no. None of this is original. None of this is new. PUBG just picked up on a long-winded hype train that had been building for quite a while, released a half-broken game, got the most advertising, the most hype, and the most eyes on it, and then claimed that it invented this bullshit. And then Fortnite got successful off of much of the same stuff. So, no, none of these people hold any kind of claim towards this. And I know this because I fucking played DayZ. I've loved this kind of game from its inception. And the reason I don't like Battle Royale games is because I feel like they're a watered down version of their truer counterpart of open world survival games. It's like a never ending match that you don't fucking get told you're the best. You just live long enough to kill hundreds of other motherfuckers. That's how real men do it. So yeah, that's my long-winded response of no, suing them would be the most ass backwards retarded thing on the face of the planet.
I should add that they did try to sue him and the judge dismissed the case for obvious reasons. You know, how are you going to sue the company that makes the engine that your game runs on?
Yeah.
Retarded, man.
It's plagiarism.
Yeah, it's played right. Maybe Philip Mewson works for these people, man. All right, it's moving on here. Is Fortnite based on Earth, and if not, where is it based?
That's the larger question about Fortnite. Does it take place on Earth? They don't say, but there's all kinds of proof within the world that says that maybe it's not Earth. But you know what? That's how they get you. That's how they get those theorists to kind of fuck, you know, to kind of go in there and try to figure out what the hell is going on.
Those game theorists?
Hey, people! No.
Yeah. By the way, would it be an asshole response if I answer with who cares?
No, because I was going to say the same thing.
Who gives a shit?
It doesn't matter. It could be happening in some fucking Martian kid's dreams. Like, who gives a shit where it's happening? If you like the game, play the shit.
Exactly.
As a person who has worked in that sort of idea, in sort of that realm, trust me, a lot of studios will, you know, when it comes to these sorts of games that don't have really any sort of narrative to them, they will throw these little threads of something of a narrative in there to kind of give people who want a little more of a fuller experience to coincide.
Yeah, you know, but that's lazy. That's not a full experience. You're not writing anything. You're going, here, let's throw out a mystery hype bullshit and let people make up their own story.
It's like when they were in Fortnite, they were trying to do that like thing where it was like a meteor that was coming toward the planet. You saw like in the sky, and then every so often the planet would shake around and whatever.
So then eventually
there was this big meteor hit, and then, you know, that was like season three or something like that.
Yeah. Then they found out they were in a video game, right? Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I need to ask it, you know, the New York way. Who cares? whatever. All right, moving on to
it's kind of like the way Overwatch is, you know, because officially within the world of the actual video game of Overwatch, there is absolutely no story, but they release all this content outside of Overwatch, like comic books and little animations and stuff to kind of extend the story. But I'm sure when the developers are coming in there, they were more like thinking, hey, this character looks cool, let's put it in, you know.
Yeah. All right. Last question from Mr. Sodep. What do you think the legacy of the PS4 will be, and how will it influence the future of gaming? Very interesting question, my friend. Because, like, what did the PlayStation 4 really do that stood out? I have a hard time answering that. Other than the only big thing it did was, like, bring PlayStation back into relevance again, you know?
Yeah. It also created a sales conundrum because it exploded out of the gate with weak launch titles and yet sold like hotcakes. And then it's like, was it just that Xbox tripped up so hard out of the gate with Don Matrick and his bullshit that it sold, that everybody just went to it before like there was nearly anything, or did they do something? They didn't even know. Remember?
Yeah, they were confused. Yeah.
Yoshida said, "We don't understand our initial success." Yeah. Like he didn't know.
Exactly. So, oh, here's an interesting one. Dr. Evil says SharePlay was placed. Well, was PlayStation 4 the first console to do that? To make it easy?
Maybe he doesn't mean SharePlay, but game sharing?
Yeah, game sharing. He's saying streaming to YouTube, he says.
Oh, no. No.
I guess technically the first console to do it.
Yeah.
But it's the thing. I thought the whole, like the whole game share thing where, like, you can buy a game and then like have like player two like come along and play the game online with you, which they did for Far Cry 5 and a couple other games, and then they never mentioned again.
Yeah, but so you think that's gonna be its like legacy though? I don't know if that is.
Okay, its legacy is making the PS Move relevant again.
No shit.
One, I want to dunk on the PS Move, and two, I wanted to get in on the zeitgeist of relevant. Yes. Everyone else seems like jumping on the hype train now, so I'll do it as well.
Yeah, yeah. The guys in the chat seem to be saying share button and streaming is the legacy of PS4. I can't argue with that, though.
I would think it's the remote play, that share play also. I mean, that's so cool that I can just say, hey, you want to come watch me stream? You can watch. Hey, you want to play here? Give you control. Hey, you want to play with me? Let's both play together, and you don't even own the game. That's awesome. Yeah. And you still can't do that on Xbox. And it's one of those features that it's like when you know about it, you're thrilled about it. And so many people I know that have a PlayStation 4 for years, they don't even know about it, or they didn't know. All day digital, right? We're playing all these games, and I forgot what game was that. I was like, hey, you want? I think it was Need for Speed or something. I was like, hey, you want to play? He was like, what do you mean? And I was like, boom, my game control. He was blown. He couldn't believe it. He was like, what do you mean? How am I playing? I don't have this. I'm like, that's one of the features.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, one of the reasons I love doing the show is because we get to impart our knowledge on the younger crowd. Manny, I want you to go for this one. Explain this one. Okay. Hussein, who's, you know, our brother, obviously, he says one of the its legacies is going to be a headphone jack and a controller.
Ah, I would like to share with you something called a Panasonic Real 3DO. That is the first console to have a headphone jack inside of it.
1993 or 94? What was that?
93, I want to say. Yeah. 93. That was, in fact, I've been waiting for years for them to do this again. I'm like, why didn't something like a PlayStation do this or anything else until now, where they actually have them all inside of there? Insane.
Yeah, no, because I remember when the PS4 first came out, people were like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. Manny was on Twitter. Was like, hey, you guys forgot about the 3DO.
Yo, man, I got that thing in my living room. I'm like, I could show you right now. Literally had a little old school, like, you know, analog volume control where you could listen to anything. And that's all you need to do. And I played a lot of my games that way, you know, late at night. So I didn't disturb my mom or anything. So there you go. It is a really good feature. And it makes perfect sense. Why can't you listen to your games through your controller with some really nice headphones?
I just gotta say, it was one of the most New York things I think I've ever heard. Manny, thank you, I appreciate that. So I played the game most of the time, played through my headphones, so I didn't interrupt my mom.
Yeah, like, there you go.
Beautiful. That was beautiful.
Yeah, well, I was a kid. So yeah, I mean that is where it was first. That was first done. And in fact, let me also add all in one box, or the one box that you'd ever need, you know, how Xbox was trying to be a full on multimedia sort of thing where you play video games, you watch your movies, that was also something that 3DO was trying to do. They were trying to be the one entertainment device.
Yeah, Hussein says that he doesn't know anything about the 3DO. That's what we're here for, brother. That's what we're here for.
3DO is awesome.
3DO was fucking awesome, man.
That was officially the first. That is, you know, the one of the I feel like the 3DO was where a lot of the later consoles kind of got some of their things from. Where it's like the closest version of the 3DO is literally the next generation of 32-bit consoles, which is the, you know, 32 at the PlayStation,
the original PlayStation and the Sega Saturn. A lot of those things had had elements that were pretty much started on the 3DO.
By the way, shout out to Christopher Cherry. He goes, if the 3DO had the head jack on the controller, because if it was the system, it wasn't. Okay, he's saying that yeah, it had it on the on the controller, but the Sega Genesis had one on the actual system itself. People forget about that too.
I didn't forget about that.
That wasn't.
Oh yeah,
that wasn't that convenient. You know, from
you'd have to have
that was not convenient.
You'd have to have an extension cord for your. But
was I the only one that played the game the consoles correctly? You're supposed to sit legs crossed, 2 feet in front of the TV, so that you could hear the buzz coming off of the screen.
Wow! No, I just had
you know, when again late at night. Sometimes I'd play late at night. Mom's sleeping, and I'd be playing with my Genesis with headphones on. So, and not to mention that you know it also played because you remember I think a lot of games in the Genesis did not produce the audio in stereo when it came through your television, but when you put it through your little headphone jack, you got some stereo.
See, Cal knows what's up. He goes, he used the mic for Genesis when his mom's was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, legacy of the PS4. One of the other answers I'm seeing here is $399 versus $499. I don't know if that's a legacy though, because remember, because Sony in general has a legacy of that. Remember $299 walk off the stage. You know,
it's an interesting thing because. The PlayStation 4 is at this point in time one of the highest selling consoles out there. But really, does it have anything that kind of changed things?
No, aside from the share button, not really.
No, I mean it's kind of like an upgrade. It's pretty much what a lot of the PlayStations were, which were upgrades of the last one. You know.
Yeah, it didn't have anything like a Green Ray player or something in it.
No, it didn't have a Green Ray. I mean, if anything, it'll probably run if the new one comes out, it'll probably run the HD DVDs, right?
We already know what they're working on for PlayStation 9. They revealed that years ago.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that shit, boy.
Don't worry. We know what's coming.
Yeah, by the way, Manny, you mean UHD, not HD. That shit.
Whatever. I don't know what the fuck you call it. Yeah, UHD. So essentially, it holds more on the
Ultra
disc.
Ultra HD.
So, holds more, information on the disc. So, I would probably see them, moving towards something like that if they're going to use this physical media section. But, with all that fun research that's happening nowadays with flash media, I mean, who's to say that they won't just go to a cartridge?
All right. And I'm going to sneak this in for fun because Subgator's our boy. Subgator, what's going on, brother?
Mr. So, Gator.
Very simple question. What games are you playing?
What? Didn't you do that on the last episode?
But that wasn't a question.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we've ever actually been asked this before. We do this 197 episodes. We've never been asked what games are we playing. Ain't that about a bitch? All right, who wants to go first?
Mine's is easy. So I'm playing The Division.
The Division.
And Injustice 2.
Whoa!
They put that on sale recently for anybody who was on the fence or not sure. The Legendary Edition is now out for $29 on PlayStation, and that gives you Hellboy and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and a whole bunch of other goodies. So I was like, Hellboy? Wow! So this is their Omega Edition, the full complete, and that's what they do at the end of their cycle. So. I was like, that's a good price and get to play with everybody. So that was a good one. But I had to turn off HDR on it. And this is the first time in a game that I had to turn it off because it's a dark game. But then when they throw the flashes of light, and it looks great on the faces, on their faces as they're running around, but it's too bright. Mm-hmm. So it's like they'll show like a spotlight and it flashes and it looks like someone just threw a flashbang. I'm like, I can't see anything. So I just had to turn it off. But besides that, it's a fun game. I love that Injustice series.
Some games don't have properly implemented HDR. They kind of have a quick and dirty version of it, and a lot of games kind of suffer from all kinds of issues with it.
Yeah, the best I've ever seen so far that I've experienced with it. Well, there's two, actually. God of War, of course, that was awesome, with the rain and the particle effects with the light and all that. But the second one, actually, well, I think about it, it's also with the rain, Uncharted 4. And I played the, I forgot which mission. It's one of the missions toward the end where after you crash on the boat on the island and you have to climb the rocks and stuff, and it's a storm, it's at night and the lightning's flashing. That lightning with the rain, and it would reflect on him, and you see he's all wet and a rock is wet. I was like, oh, this looks beautiful. But besides that, yeah, it's like it's either really too dark or too bright. Like even in the Division, I have it on and I keep getting tempted to turn it off because, you know, as the day turns to night and the sun is rising, it's like you almost can't see anything. The whole screen is it's white. And I remember once my daughter came in, I thought it was just my eyes because they suck. And she's like, what's wrong with the TV? Why is it so bright? And I'm like, the sun is rising in the game. And yeah. So, yeah, those are two that I'm playing right now.
All right, Brett, what you playing, man?
Nothing right now, honestly. I'm keep catching up on work.
All right, Brian.
I'm actually going through quite a couple of games at the moment. I recently finished Astro's Wrath on Saturday. It was really quite good. I really liked it. It was a fun game. Ending was quite nice. I wish they would have had a bit more boss fights because I was really like looking forward to like kicking the asses of like all of them, but whatever, you know, it's a game. You can't have what you want. And then I played Final Fantasy 15 demo on PC, of course, and I really did like it. I'm tempted to actually buy it down the road, so that might be a thing I will look at in the future. Play the usual Warframe, and then currently, right now, I'm playing Mafia 3. So, quite a bit of something.
Cool. All right, Carlos, man.
What was the question?
What game are you playing?
Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, yeah. I played that. I'm playing a lot of 16-bit games. And I played a little bit of Tomb Raider on PS4. Because I think I only played that shit on PC, and I wanted to sit down on the Pro.
Which one? Rise?
No, the first one. Okay, the first of the new iterations.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I'm guessing you're playing these 16-bit games on a certain handheld that's not by Nintendo, right?
That is correct.
All right. That's all we're going to say about that, man. Chris, what you've been playing lately, man?
So I've been on and off still playing Dead Cells. That game is freaking hard. I tried because I had Elite Dangerous in my backlog, so I downloaded it and realized I have no idea what to do. It is not No Man's Sky. It is way more complicated. There's like a million panels. And when it took me an hour to figure out how to go into Super Cruise, and I didn't know where I was going, and so it was very confusing. So I took a break from that and went back to Dead Cells when I realized I don't know how to fly in space. So yeah, that's the two things I played. I'm gonna have to like sit and figure out Elite Dangerous. I was like, well, Brian played this. I should try it. It's not easy. It's not like No Man's Sky. Let's go over there, and you just hyperspace over there, and your ship automatically stops where you're supposed to be.
Oh man. Manny, have you gotten a chance to play anything? I know you've been busy. Well,
I've mostly been playing through God of War. I'm still, I just defeated the second bosses of the game, and some more revelations happen. But I'm making my way through it slowly but surely. My gaming playtime might. I might have a little bit more gaming playtime because of a project that I just finished off was now done after 3 years, so which is great. So now I might have a little bit more time to actually play some things, and just in time because everything is going to start hitting like next month.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Because I can't talk about what I can't give my impressions of this stuff, but I can't tell you what I haven't played. So I've been playing Dragon Quest 11, right? And Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. I'm playing those. You'll get my impressions of those when the embargoes lift. And I also played Yakuza Kiwami 2. The embargo lifted for that. Yeah, that game is fucking awesome. I love the way the Dragon Engine like works with that game. Like, now you can seamlessly go into buildings, go into fights and stuff. You don't have to load everything, you know. Really good stuff. But the thing is, I was glad I didn't have to play the entire game. I just played enough of it for the review. The review is going to come out Thursday, but I could give my purchase now and stuff because I want to go back to Kiwami, you know, and finish that. And then I'll go to 2. But 2, fucking amazing, you know. Here's the thing. Like I said, I no longer need Shenmue games because I got Yakuza, you know, so I'm good right there. So Monster Hunter,
wait, so they changed the engine?
Yeah, they changed it because for Yakuza 6 they changed the engine, right? And they used that one for Kiwami too.
So what is it, what do you say, it's more like Grand Theft Auto? Or
hell no, the engine like makes it so, like, you know, because you played the games, right? You know how he feels a little bit. You know how he like he runs and punches a little bit stiff or whatever. It's really smooth now. The animations are just overall smooth. The world looks even more realistic. It's funny because it's the exact same locations from every Yakuza game, but I almost didn't recognize them at first. Like, what the fuck is this? Because there's just so many particle effects. There's just so much stuff going on, you know? It looks more realistic. But yeah, it's you know how when Telltale said they changed their engine and they didn't? This shit, they actually changed that engine. You could tell they changed the engine, you know?
Well, speaking of that, anybody play that first episode?
No.
The new Walking Dead? No, right?
Yeah, I already told you I'm kind of done with that series, to be honest. Same thing with the Walking Dead in general, except the comic book. I still need to go back to those, though. So, yeah, anyway.
Well, you know where they're at.
Yeah, exactly. That's a man. So, yeah, Kiwami preview is going to be up on, not preview, not even a review either, because not the whole game. It's like my impressions on Thursday. Then August 28th is going to be Monster Hunter. And around September 4th is going to be Dragon Quest XI. That's the one I really want to talk to you guys about. But stay tuned for all that, man. Yeah, like Manny said, all this shit is hitting now, man. Spider-Man's going to be dropping soon. You know, Tomb Raider, Mega Man 11, Assassin's Creed.
You really excited for Tomb Raider? Like, I just don't see it anymore.
Are you fucking kidding? I love Tomb Raider. I've been obsessed with Tomb Raider since the first one, bro.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah. Like, this one really got you hyped?
Hell fucking yeah, dude. I love the last two. The redone ones or whatever. Not redones. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm cool with that. I'm just saying, like, within this window, I feel like there's so many other big titles that it's overshadowed. No pun intended.
Oh, no. It is going to be overshadowed. I guarantee you it's going to be overshadowed. But just like the other two Tomb Raider games, it's going to make its money on the back end later, you know? But for me personally, because I'm a big fan of the franchise, so I'm hyped as fuck. It's just a matter of how do I fit all this shit in there, you know what I'm saying? Because for me, I got to play the games and also write about them. But I think I'm doing pretty good time management-wise now, you know? It's just easy when you just cut off everything. I'm not watching TV no more. I'm barely reading comics. All I'm doing is work and games, and that's it. And gaming is work, too, you know? But it's all good. I'm happy. I'm playing some good stuff.
And putting some shit in the mail for Adam.
This mother... Wait, Adam, you mean this shit right here? This shit right here?
Sucker Free Sunday.
Yeah. Can y'all see this shit? I'm going to send this shit to Adam. I got this at E3. It's a Division. Yeah, shit. There you go. You get this shit.
You got your Titanfall pin, right?
Damn right. It's on my bag downstairs.
Nice.
What about your Titanfall underwears too, son?
Got my Titanfall.
No, I gave them
tiny whiteies.
If you remember, like a few years back at E3, when we got to see Titanfall, we got to get that little pin.
That's right.
I gave that over to him.
I think I still have that shit. I'm keeping that shit.
It was still sitting in my drawer. I think I even have a few Xbox controller pins too.
I got a couple of those, but I'm keeping those on. But I should put one on my hat. Creep. You know, like on my Sony hat, I should put a little Xbox thing. Fuck everybody up.
And then write something on the side of the hat. Share the love.
I was gonna say something else. Stop right
now. Oh shit, it's a family show.
You know what I'm saying? It's a family show here, man. Fuck that. All right.
So what I'm playing.
Man, you ain't playing nothing. I went to you already.
I'm playing that God of War.
Yeah, you said that already. You just wanted to get the last word in.
I just wanted to get the last word.
Yeah. I already had the schedule up and everything. All right.
Oh, Carlos hasn't said what he's playing.
Yeah, he did. He's playing Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, I thought you were just cracking a joke.
No, that's all he plays, man.
All right. Is that a phone game? Is he got a phone game?
Yeah. Damn!
That's enough for tonight, guys.
Let me wrap this motherfucking show up, man. All right. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or over on the Coalition, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Periscope, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. So I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Stay tuned next week. We might have an announcement.
Brett Murdoch.
This is everybody.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week. SummerSlam suck. Don't watch that shit.
And Brian Munjoma.
And people, do not generalize. It's bad.
Oh, man. All right, I guess we'll talk to you on Thursday, man. Remember, get an announcement to make. Get ready for that shit, boy. Whip, whip. Later.
Excuse me.
Later, guys.
Peace.